From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live Session, presented by Sierra Nevada Brewing Company. JPR Live Sessions are recorded with Audix microphones. Audix, when sound matters. My guest today has been here once before, but it was a great number of years ago, and we're thrilled to have him back in town. It's Matt the Electrician. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm well. It's good to see you again. It's been a long time.
Yeah, likewise.
How's life?
Life's good.
You're still in Austin, Texas?
I am still in Austin, yeah.
It's been now more than 20 years?
In Austin, yeah, 23 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
We should say, and we are proud to announce, that we can claim you, right? You actually grew up here.
Yeah.
At least some of your early life.
Yeah, I did. I lived in Ashland in the 70s. As far as I knew, I was. This is where I'm from. Turns out I was born in San Francisco, but my folks, brought me up here when I was just a couple months old. So my little brother and my little sister were both born in Ashland.
Mm. It's weird that, isn't it? How one place can still feel like home, even though you may have spent more years elsewhere.
Oh yeah.
You know, the place where the roots go down.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my parents in particular moved around a lot, so kind of up and down the West Coast. I have like seven towns that feel that way.
And you went to HSU, right? Humboldt State?
I did, yeah.
Did you finish?
I don't remember. No, I did not.
Wasn't there some sort of hiccup where you owed money for something?
Well, it had nothing to do with my not graduating, but I decided to drop out of college because I was in this band, and there was all this there was promise that we were going to tour. I think there was something mentioned about Jackson Browne and maybe going to Africa. I don't know. Anyway, none of it.
That was lofty.
Yeah, none of it ever materialized. But at the time, it seemed like the totally right thing to do was drop out of school to join this band of misfits and tour around a little bit, which we did. We went up and down the West Coast, but I never saw Jackson Browne, and we never went to Africa. But when I was dropping out, I thought, you know, as I was leaving school, I thought I should get my report card, like my last semester's. I don't know why I didn't, but I didn't do very well in school, but I stood in line at like the, whatever it would be called, I guess the administrar's office or something.
Registrar, right?
Sure, registrar. Yeah. I like administrar, but registrar is fine. Yeah, I stood in line for like what seemed like an eternity, and I got all the way up there just to get my report card. And they said, oh, well, you have a library fine of $35. And of course, you know, $35 at that time may as well have been $10,000. I was like, no way I'm coming up with that.
Yeah.
And so I just walked away and never, I figured, well, I don't need my report card that bad.
Right. Yeah. Matt the Electrician is my guest today live here on JPR Live Sessions. His newest record is called The Doubles, which was the culmination of a multi-year project we'll talk about in a couple of minutes. MattTheElectrician.com, the place to go online to learn more. What do you want to play first for us today?
I will do a song off The Doubles. Yeah. This is a song on there called Mountains.
Like mountains, you love statues of heroes, true weirdos, from the places where we come from. There are pictures on your bedroom walls. There are fixtures. They are changing all around us. Many mountains. You love mountains. Go so slow going over the hills. Hills are rolling up in the air. The air is thin, love is bigger, love wins. Making maps, setting traps around the yard so we can fall and lose it all and rise again. And all the battles, they happened here. Sabres rattle.
That is Matt the Electrician playing live for us today here on JPR Live Sessions. Music from the record called The Doubles, a collection of songs recorded over a few years. Information on the record and on Matt at mattheelectrician.com. Matt, a couple of years back, you were a guest on E-Town talking to Nick Forster. And the story that you told Nick was the story of how you got, or at least chose to go to Austin. Which seemingly did not have a lot of preparation behind the choice, right, other than being a big fan of one particular band. You'd never been there.
I had never been there.
So despite playing acoustic guitar and being a singer and songwriter, and Austin as the home for just that, that's really not why you chose to go?
Yeah, I didn't know anything about any of the kind of the rich songwriting history. I had never heard of Townes Van Zandt or Guy Clark or Joe Ely or Butch Hancock or Jimmy Dale Gilmore or any of the...
That's amazing kind of, and funny and... Yeah.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people go there kind of as a, you know, it's a mecca for all of that. And I was very clueless. I liked the band Poi Dog Pondering. And some of their members were from there, but they hadn't even lived there in a while.
Did you like that kind of music once you started discovering it?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like a lot of those people that, Austin is known for, you know, be it Towns, Blaze Foley's another one that, you know, right now is kind of in the spotlight. And,
Ben Dickey was just here.
Oh, fun. Course he was. Yeah. I saw that Hayes was up in Portland. We were in Powell's Books at the same time. We're buddies, but we did not cross paths because we were both kind of running to other things. But and that movie was cool. I just saw that. Towns and Blaze. Like I've liked what I've heard. I've liked the songs. I think the songwriting what would you even say, like the school of songwriting that a lot of that kind of came from, I have a great deal of respect for. And I feel like sometimes I draw on some of the ways that I feel like those people write, in my own writing. But I was, you know, at a much younger age, I was pretty indoctrinated into the kind of Paul Simon, you know, even John Denver, just kind of the poppier side of the less serious side of that songwriting, I guess.
Is it safe to say that you are more of a singer-songwriter who happens to live in Austin than you are an Austin singer-songwriter?
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
I mean, I think any, you know, these days, especially with just the, how much stuff is floating around the internet and how fast, you know, information has to be created and then disappears again. While at the same time existing forever. it means that, you know, at least on paper, I'm an Austin singer-songwriter because I've been there for a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I've never felt, you know, talking about home and driving through Ashland or any of these towns I've lived in, I feel a great affinity for all sorts of these places that I've spent time, but I never totally, you know, the converse to that is I don't have a hometown. I mean, I have 8 or 9 hometowns, but I don't really have, and Austin feels the same way to me. I've been there 23 years and I still feel like I'm kind of the new guy in town a little.
Yeah. Now you've got a family there, right? In Austin.
I do. Yeah.
You ever have plans to move back up to the Northwest?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. We're not sure what we're doing right now. Our kids are getting older and we've got a few more years before the last one leaves the house and we'll see what happens then. Yeah.
You've released like a dozen records.
Yeah.
As Matthew Electrician. The most recent, the one that we're talking about, The Doubles, is actually a collection of songs that were not released as albums. They were released as, of all things, 45s on vinyl.
Yeah.
Over the last few years.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, what was behind that decision to I mean, there's a big push in recent years because of the sales and the money you can make from selling physical merchandise to put stuff out on vinyl.
Yeah.
But very few people are doing 45s.
Oh, I know. If I had done any research,
might as well put them on a cassette.
Yeah, much like my move to Austin, I did not consciously decide to put out, I did not sit down, think through, strategize, and then release 6 different 45 singles with 2 songs on each record over the course of 2 years with a different backup band from Austin on each and different visual artists doing the covers. That's what happened. It ended up happening, but it was not a plan. Huh. I had 2 songs and I wanted to make a record. And I didn't want, I think sometimes when you're in a writing cycle and you figure, okay, it's just starting, I've written a couple songs, and you know that maybe 6 months, 9 months down the line, you'll have 10 or 12 or 15 songs and you go make a record. And those first couple of songs you write, by the time you get in the studio, they're always the old songs.
Yeah.
They're like the songs that you've played, now you've played at them at some shows and they've lost a little of their luster, but there was a moment where you were so excited about them. And I had these 2 songs and I was really excited about them. And I thought, man, I don't want to do that again. I was also aware that like, it was really hard just to sell CDs anymore on the road. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do next. And having grown up, you know, playing 45s and owning 40, in fact, right here in Ashland, my mom took me to the Bi-Mart, you know, that is right down there at the, on the edge of town there. I know I'm pointing, this is radio. I don't remember the name of the street, but it's like it cruises off of Siskiyou, you know, and you go over there. She took me to the Bi-Mart and I got to pick out, 2 records. They were either $1 a piece or $1.50, but I got, Dolly Parton's 9 to 5 and Eddie Rabbit's I Love a Rainy Night. I don't remember what the B-sides were to either, but I was so excited about those 45s.
Not sure anybody remembers what the B-sides were to those.
So that, in my head, I thought, this is, you know, vinyl's back. I think when I started playing music, I just figured vinyl was already dead at the time, and I thought, oh, I'll never get to put anything on vinyl.
Yeah.
And so I had these 2 songs, and I thought, I'll make 1 45, because that's not a huge investment to just do one. And I thought it would be a one-off, and I was friends with this bluegrass band in Austin, Wooden Wire, who actually were just nominated for a Grammy this year. And so I was pretty, I was friends with them and I was excited about what they were doing. And I thought, these aren't really bluegrass songs, but it would be fun to do something together. And this seemed like the thing, like, hey, let's just do this together. You guys be my backup band on this 45, and we'll just do that. And really, almost in the process of being in the studio doing that, I decided, oh, I'm going to do more of these. Mm. And then it just kind of snowballed from there and turned into this, like, just gargantuan, ridiculous project.
Did you sell them all? Or do you still have crates full of vinyl?
Thankfully, I don't have crates, but I do have some left. I a little bit overshot the general enthusiasm for 45s. Again, I didn't do any research. So.
Matt the Electrician is my guest today live here on Jefferson Public Radio. His newest collection is called The Doubles. You can get information online at mattheelectrician.com. What do you want to play next for us?
Well, I'm going to do another, in fact, this song is from The Doubles also. And this was the very first song. So I recorded this with the band Wooden Wire. And this song is called The Bear. And in honor of being in bear country.
The bear moved into the city, and all of the work dried up. Put it all in his pickup truck and drove down. And he scoured the classified ads for a window with the view of the trees. Signed his name, got a set of keys and the empty light of a room. And he said, wonder if this is what heaven is like. What if it means I'm more dead than sky, waiting on the first starlight in the space between the buildings. And he stayed awake all night with the cold. fingers formed a steeple, pointed at the sky. And he said, I wonder if this is what heaven is like. What if it means I'm more dead than alive? What would I be if I turned out the light before night fell?
That one is called The Bear. It leads off the record called The Doubles. It's Matt the Electrician playing for us live here on JPR Live Sessions. MattTheElectrician.com, the place to go online. Over the years, Matt, you have had a number of songs that have been synced, to use the insider cool kid term. Do you or does someone working with you or for you pursue those opportunities, or they just kind of drop out of the sky and a royalty check shows up and life is good?
Sometimes I've had people that have worked for me in the past, but to stick with the theme of moving to Austin and then my 45s project, most of the ones that have paid me money have just dropped out of the sky.
Really?
Yeah.
That's gotta be a good day to wake up.
I mean, it is. It absolutely is. In general, the more I realize that that's how my life works, it makes it harder to spend time planning anything.
Yeah.
Because I think, well, if I plan, those things don't work out. But if I don't plan and I just wait around, things happen. Mm. It's very strange.
This record, the Doubles.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about it being 45 projects that you recorded over quite a while.
Yeah.
And the record, I think we got our copy in June of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads me to, what are you up to now musically?
Well, I am...
Wax cylinders?
No, I think I tried the weird thing. I'm done with that for a while. I've got some 45s at my house if anyone wants to come over and buy those. But I am working on a record. I am in the midst of writing stuff and... there's still some kind of things to get sorted out and some negotiations to go through. But ideally, I will be recording in late summer in Oregon.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Swing by and say hello if you're down here.
I definitely, I will on my way up to the northern part. Yeah. I will. Yeah.
I read a blog post that you wrote about Austin, mm-hmm. sort of tour guiding people through Austin. And as part of that, you talked about some of the things you like to do outside of music. You run.
Yes.
You skate.
I do.
And I'm going to paraphrase badly, but okay. It was just such a fantastic paragraph that I didn't want to let this go by. You talked about going to the skate park early.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, number one, it's not 100 degrees.
Mm.
Number two, because you're a 40-something, 40-somethings go to the skate park early, so no one else is there to laugh at you.
Right.
And you can relearn front side rock and rolls on the shortest transition and practice your fakey shove-its without 9-year-olds doing double impossibles in our way.
That is quite true.
Also, shorter wait times at the emergency room. I have met a couple of musicians over the years who skate. Uh-huh. Skating seems to be very dangerous for someone who needs to use their hands to play guitar.
Yeah, it is.
Do you brace up or you just take your chances?
No, I mean... Again, I've hurt myself skating to be sure. And in fact, a couple of years ago, I wasn't skating, but I was snow skating. I don't know if you know that one. It's not snowboarding, but it's like you take a skateboard deck and they just kind of wax up the bottom.
That sounds like a terrible idea.
And you just stand on it. You're not strapped to it, but you do like, you have like a keychain thing attached to your belt to the deck so it doesn't fly off and kill somebody.
So it's like snowboarding, but without the stability of the length of a snowboard.
And you're not attached to the thing, so it's just, yeah, it's a little terrifying, but it was fun. I my brother-in-law pitched it to me when we were in Tahoe a couple of years ago, and I was like, yeah, I'll try that. And so because of years of skating, I took to it pretty quick, but I'm not used to snow at all, and I was going down this pretty steep hill and slowing myself down by sliding, kind of 90 sliding out to slow down. Right near the bottom of the hill, I had pretty much almost stopped. And then just hit like a little a little bump, and so I fell backwards. Not a big deal at all, but I put my hand behind me, which I wouldn't do if I'm falling on the concrete. Like, my brain is trained to know not to do that. And I did it in the snow because I thought snow is soft. And I'm, you know, for any of you who do snow sports, you already know the answer to that. So I sprained my wrist, and I had a tour that started about a week after that. So I had to wear a wrist brace for the tour, and it took a lot of painkillers.
Yeah. One other thing I want to ask you about, this goes back to when you were talking to Nick Forster on E-Town. A lot of that conversation revolved around the shirt that you had when you were on that show. But in that conversation, you mentioned that if it were up to you, it would be flannel. And my reaction to that was, I have been to Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
Flannel is the last thing that I would ever want to wear in Austin, Texas.
True.
Do you wear flannel in Austin, Texas?
I mean, in Austin, we get really excited when it dips down to like 60. You know, when in that time in the fall, when it's...
That day in the fall.
Well, and for us, the fall means like early December. So in early December, you'll have that first day where it's like gotten out of the 80s. And it doesn't always, but in the years when it does, you know, you'll see people out in sweaters and scarves, and people are just excited to like unwrap that part of their wardrobe that they haven't seen in like, you know, the better part of a year. And I remember thinking when I first moved to Austin, the first time that happened, I thought, oh, that's so ridiculous. But then a couple of years in, you find yourself doing it because your body just readjusts. The converse of that was, I lived in Corvallis right before I moved down there, and I was doing construction with my dad. So we were doing a siding job, I remember, and it was like 22 degrees and freezing rain, and you're pounding nails. And, you know, like a week later in May, you know, the first week of May, you get that day where it's like 49 and sunny. And I had a day off. It was a Saturday, I think. And I had a tank top and shorts, and I rode my bike downtown Corvallis, and people were laying out by the river, and it couldn't have been more than 50 degrees.
Yeah.
So, you know, your body adjusts wherever you are.
Well, maybe it'll be the climate that brings you back to the Northwest. Who knows?
It could be.
It is good to see you again. I know it's taken a long time, but I'm glad we finally worked out getting you back in here.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Eric.
Matt the Electrician is my guest live here on JPR Live Sessions. The Doubles is the name of his latest collection of songs. Information is online at mattheelectrician.com. And you've got one more for us.
I'm gonna play a new song for you. This is actually one that I don't know if it probably won't be on the new record. I already recorded a version of it. And it's gonna release as a single, not on vinyl.
8-track.
No, I think this is going to be the digital variety.
Okay.
But it'll be out in about a month. I wrote this for my friend Tim. I don't know if you know Tim Easton.
Oh yeah, yeah, I've met him.
Yeah, great singer songwriter, lives in Nashville, Tennessee, and he let me stay at his house a couple times, but and he stayed at my house in Austin, and we're good buddies. And I was at his house and was just feeling particularly grateful for having a place to be in light of so many that do not have that opportunity.
For a little while, not long, then I'll be gone again. I'm only traveling. Thank you for filling me up. I was empty, now I'm not. My heart is overflowing to burst within. I got a heart again. Where would I be if no one helped me along? Thank you for letting me stay. I just needed a space for a little while, not long. Then I'll be gone again. I'm only traveling.
That is brand new music from Matt the Electrician playing live for us today here at Jefferson Public Radio. His latest release is called The Doubles. Information can be found at mattheelectrician.com. JPR Live Sessions are supported by and recorded with Audix Microphones. Located in Wilsonville, Oregon, Audix designs, engineers, and manufactures high-performing, innovative products that contribute to the advancement of the professional audio industry. Matt, it's so good to see you again. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Eric. I appreciate it.
Support for JPR Live Sessions comes from Sierra Nevada Brewing Company, family-owned, operated, and argued over since 1980, reminding listeners to think for themselves, but drink with others. SierraNevada.com.